title is False Prophets, Doomed Parasites. 2:10-22. Amen. Father, I have your word and I believe it's true. I am what it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay. 2 Peter 2, verses 10 through 22. These people are proud and arrogant, the false prophets, the false teachers, daring even to scoff at supernatural beings without such as much as trembling. But angels who are far greater in power and strength do not dare bring from the Lord a charge of blasphemy against those supernatural beings. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. Their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They would love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They delight in deception, even as they will eat with you in your fellowship meals. They commit adultery with their eyes, and their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin, and they are well trained in greed. They live under God's curse. They have wandered off the right road and follow the footsteps of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved to earn money by doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his madness when his donkey rebuked him with a human voice. These people are as useless as dried up springs or a mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed to the blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boastings. With an appeal to twist sexual desires, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from the lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than when they first began. It would have been better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to know it and reject the command that they were given to live a holy life. They prove that the truth of the proverb, a dog returns to its vomit, and another says, a washed pig returns to mud. We as believers must understand, and I believe we do, that we are entering into the days of true darkness. We are entering into those times where lofty words that we hear that we think mean something actually mean something else to those who are speaking. And this is a deception that is coming upon the church of Jesus Christ. And this deception, these false prophets and false teachers are pervasive not only through the church, they're in the world. They just happen to fellowship in the church. Now these individuals may be born again, they may not be, but they are in the church because if they are able to succeed in deceiving the people of God, the world will fall right into place. You see, the only thing that's keeping back the Antichrist is the morality of the church by the Holy Spirit. And we must understand that these people will say and do whatever it is to fulfill their ungodly desires. They will. And to the untrained and innocent or brand new believer, they are the most vulnerable of us all. You see, these people that are going to come in aren't going to test my metal. They're going to test your metal. They're going to find out what you're about, what you believe in secret. Remember, Peter told us that they're going to smuggle in this stuff right under the noses of the shepherds. They're going to do things that when I'm looking at them, It may be plausible, it may be acceptable. But if I don't know what they're saying, if I don't know what they're trying to find out, then you're at risk. Because the shepherd can only watch so much. And I need other people who have a sense of protecting God's people as much as mine, that we watch, not in such a way that we be like Big Brother, but we watch and make sure that what people say and do is true, not phony. These individuals carry a lifestyle of total deceit. They say that some of their doctrinal teachings is you can live in sexual immorality. Because after all, that's under the law. And you're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. And the grace of God will cover you. They say that you don't have to be under authority. The pastor doesn't have the right to tell you what to do. After all, God dwells in you and you have all authority in you. You only need God to tell you what to do. And if it feels good, it must be God. They're lies. They're lies because God has set up a system in which His people can be protected. You see, the fivefold gift ministry is not only a governmental entity. It is there to help train the people of God to do the works of the ministry. And part of the work of the ministry, believe it or not, is protection of the flock. Which means it is not only my responsibility, but yours too. And that's why the emphasis of knowing the Word, knowing what God says is important, because Satan comes as an angel of light. He is not going to come, he is not going to come to us in this devilish, heinous looking type of thing that TV would paint for us to believe. He is going to come really smooth to us. He is going to come well dressed. Charismatic. And His words are going to sound so good. But remember, in every lie, there's a little bit of truth. And if you don't know what God says, you will be caught in deception. And if you're caught in deception, you will be caught into sin. That's just the way it goes. These guys come into a fellowship, they come into an assembly, and they look for those individuals. They will be patient in how they will proceed. But eventually their arrogance and their motivations will be exposed. And those who stand for righteousness will not put up with it. But there are those who will not say a word. Why? Because not only will they not say a word about it, they condone the practices of these individuals, according to Romans 1:18-32. And so their sin is just as heinous as the sin of the false prophets and false teachers. And to make a lifestyle of the sewer as an open, acceptable thing in the Church of Jesus Christ is heinous. It is heinous. And they're filled with such greed. What was Balaam's sin? Balaam's sin was that he was supposed to bless the people of God when the kings wanted him to curse the people of God. And if you read the story out of Numbers 22 through Numbers 24, the two chapters that are there, 22 through 24, you will see this digression of what Balaam was about. Balaam was a false prophet. He heard God. God spoke to him. But the problem with the false prophet is they will do what God says for a while. Just like the people of God will do what God says for a while. And remember, I've said that each and every one of us has a price to sell out our salvation for the pittance of the things of this world. Balaam sold out. Eventually, the price that the king was offering him was so great that he began to figure out not to curse the people of God, but how to bring the people of God into sin. And his direction, he told them, well, let them mingle with our people. When the directive of God was, you don't mingle with them, you don't eat with them, you don't do anything with them except destroy them. And the king took them up, and Israel sinned before God. And because Balaam was so greedy and he was so evil that he's down on the highway with his donkey and the angel of the Lord withstood him. And the donkey saw the angel and the angel was going to cut him in two. So the donkey went off the road. And Balaam was so bent out of shape that he began to beat his donkey. So much was he upset about this that the donkey spoke back to Balaam with a human voice to bring him back to his senses and begin to see that the angel of the Lord was going to smote him. Deception. Deception will bring us and cause us to go insane. And to think that immorality, unholiness, unholy lifestyles are acceptable to God. We're crazy. They're not. God didn't order it, nor did he ordain it. He told us there was only one relationship that he not only instituted, but he would bless. And that was the institution of marriage. To show us that we are married. You know, we are the bride of Christ. We're going to go one day and get married to Jesus. We're going to have a feast, a wedding feast with the Lord. And Jesus isn't coming back for a prostitute. He's not coming back for a whore. He's coming back for a virgin, a bride without spot or wrinkle. And so, we must check ourselves to make sure there is nothing in us or that we're doing that would bring disgrace to our King. We must change our lives. Peter stresses that there's a comparison of those who never knew the way of salvation to those who do know the way of salvation. Those who don't know the way of salvation do things out of ignorance. And so the judgment of God will be accordant to it. But what about those who know the way of salvation and refuse it and go back? And not only go back, but take others with them. Remember I did a series on preaching about the highway of hell? These people are not satisfied in going back to perdition by themselves. They are looking who they can take with them because, after all, when we get to hell, we're going to party, right? Again, a lie. It's a place of punishment. And that is not the ultimate place of punishment. That's just a holding tank for you to get smacked around before you eventually stand before God on a judgment day. And those who are spoken of, who have known the way of salvation, have known the way of truth, are spoken in such derogatory means when they revert back to what they have known as dogs and pigs. Dogs and pigs. Dogs would eat anything that's laid before them, and pigs would lay in their waste. That's why God said they were unclean. That's why we don't eat them. as an example. I mean, dogs we don't eat, but pigs we do, because we clean them up, slaughter them, get the blood out. And that goes into a whole different message of dietary requirements and stuff with that. But what I'm saying to you is that God's way of salvation is sure, and He doesn't want any of us to fall off the path. He doesn't want us to revert. He wants us to proceed. We can fall down, but we repent. We get back up and we move. We continue to move on with God. But those who don't know the way of truth, how difficult is it for them to come to repentance? How difficult is it for them to ask for forgiveness? And Hebrews talks about it. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Hebrews 10, 26 through 29 talks about the difficulties of those who had once tasted the goodness of the Lord and the powers to come, to go back into that lifestyle would be to their own destruction. And their destruction is sure. We can use any excuse to blame somebody else for our walk. Well, Pastor hurt my feelings, so I'm going to walk with Jesus anymore. That's it. Pastor said something that really just stirred me in such a way that it offended me, and I'm not going there anymore. Why don't you come talk to me? Instead of running away like a little boy, like a little girl, and say, Pastor, I got difficulty with this. Can you please bring clarity to it? And we'll sit down. We'll talk about it. But people don't want to do that. People want to run away. They want to live in deception. They want to think that they're okay where they are. The fact of the matter is you're not okay. And if you're condoning sinful behavior, if you're saying that it's okay for others to live like that, you're no better than the false prophets. My son, my heart rents when I share about my son. My son is living in a relationship that is not acceptable to God. And he knows it's not acceptable because I tell him. But my heart is that I want to win him back to the Lord. And I believe one day I will. Before I'm taken off this planet, I'm believing that God will do that for me. Because that's one of my prayers. And he knows the Lord. And to me, his excuses for living the lifestyle is lame. But until then, I love him. I'm going to live the truth before him. And I'm going to encourage him to come out of it. Because I have to remind him that one day he's going to stand before God. And he's going to give an account. And it isn't because I didn't like what God did. I didn't like the people of God that was in my father's church. I didn't do this. I didn't want that. That's what he's done with Jesus. That's going to matter. The false prophets are filled with hearts of adultery. They look at women with lust. They look at them in such a way that they truly are the weaker vessel. Women are looking for attention because the husbands are so out of whack and out of touch with the family units that these guys will come in with smooth words. Come on to my house and have a Bible study. It'll just be you and me. That sounds good. There'll be just a couple of us here. And I'll pray with you. And you can tell me all your problems. And after all, I'm the answer to your problems. Oh, did I say that? Oh. But you know what? When someone is hurting and is not receiving the attention from their spouse that they should be receiving, for whatever reason that spouse is not, let me tell you, you don't find solace outside of your marriage. You don't find peace outside of your marriage. There is a problem, and you need to solve that problem with your spouse and your pastor or counselors. But you never look outside And that's what these liars and false prophets do. They will use these people in such a way to fulfill their lust and then throw them away. So what can I say about these people? To reject God and to walk in deception is how these people are. They may or may not be born again, but they're in our midst. And it behooves us to scrutinize them. Not so much like under a microscope that if they brush their teeth wrong, that we kick them out of the church. No. And God has given us a criteria, even in church discipline, to win people back to the Lord. See, God doesn't throw anybody out. He will not exhaust any resource or possibility to win somebody back to the Lord. But He will not violate our wills. He will use our situations. He will use people to win us back until the day we die. And then it's too late. Their hearts are filled with adultery, and they look upon women with such lust to fulfill their own desires through secluded meetings or encounters. They entice the weak or unsteady away from Christ. They finish with a tool in the local church with patience and self-interest for the untrained in truth. That's why I say you've got to be in the Word. And not only be in the Word's got to be in you. The Word needs to know you. God needs to know you as much as we need to know Him. They have an insatiable desire to sin. Insatiable in such that not only do they love the sin, they can't be satisfied in the sin. So they're looking to invent more and more creative ways to be wicked. They have a heart full of greed and covetousness and are willing to do whatever it takes to get what they want. And once they have it, they want more. God gives us a warning out of Hebrews 3. If you would turn to Hebrews 3. Verses 12. 13 and 14. Are we there? Beware, brethren, lest there be in you any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. The writer of Hebrews is trying to tell us that just because you're saved doesn't mean you're secure. You're only secure if you continue to hold on to Jesus Christ till the end. Then you're eternally secure. Because what we do with our lives now determines what our life will be in eternity. If we hold on, and I believe that everyone that's here wants to hold on to Jesus as hard as they can, and they want to win their family and friends to Jesus. And how we go about that, maybe we may do it stumbling in, we may be purposeful in doing it, but if we do nothing in declaring our salvation in front of people, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. You see, we're exhorted to share our faith. We are exhorted to look out for one another. We are exhorted not to isolate, but integrate and embrace. We are exhorted to commune one with another and with God. We are exhorted to maintain unity through peace. We are exhorted to grow up and leave the elementary things behind and become that which God has called us to be. But these liars and deceivers want to keep you in a retarded state. That is not your destiny. And their destruction, as the Word of God says, will find themselves in the lake of fire. A fire that is so dark, so hot, and a flame that cannot be quenched forever, separated from God. And the irony of it is, all those who believe this nonsense are gone with them. We're living in dangerous times, and we must adhere closely to Jesus. As we look further and finish through 1 Peter and then do the series of Revelation, I really believe that God's preparing us that as He continues to bring more in to us, that there are going to be people coming that'll be in the midst of us that's got some really wacky things that are not found in God's Word. How are you going to know if it's true or not if you're not in the Word? Pastor, this is what so-and-so said to me. Is it true? Well, what's God say? Well, I don't know. Well, I'm asking you. Well, do you have a Bible? Yeah. Read it. But I don't know where to look. Okay, come on over. I'll help you. But I'm not going to do it for you. Duh. We are told through Scripture that God is going to allow great delusion come upon the land. Great deception come upon the land. And only the ones that know the truth and stay in the way will not be deceived. And that's not an age discrimination. Because the little guys, until they come to the age of accountability, are saved. But what about people like Amber, 16 years old? What about old farts like me that really depend upon the pastor to share the Word of God, and then when they leave, they don't know what was said? My heart is that we be counted worthy, that we not be seduced by these lying spirits, and that we present ourselves when we were before the Lord, holy and acceptable to Him. I'm saying all this because we got to walk what we're talking. We've got to be light, not some sort of mix between light and darkness. People got to see a difference in us. And I believe that those who are here are understanding the truth and the reality of that. And I believe you want more of God. And you're willing to, even though it's a fearful thing to find yourself in the hands of a living God, it's exhilarating too at the same time. It is. And you know what's even more exhilarating than knowing that you're in the hands of a living God? Is leading somebody to Him. Because when somebody receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and begins their walk, you have the honor to share your life with them through practical discipleship and showing them the ropes, so to speak, as to what truth is and how God has worked in your life. My life. Show them how to really use the things that we have learned in a practical sense of how to be a decent person God's way. Because there are decent people out there that are not saved. And they believe that what they have done will get them into heaven. And we know that that's a lie. And the false teachers and false prophets will use every lie in order to get what they want. God has positioned us in a unique way to bring truth and to live it before our families and friends and co-workers. But he wants us to also share with them and invite those who do not know Christ through our testimony as to who God is into his family. You see, when the fireworks start, we're not going to be here. We're going to be partying. While we're celebrating for 7 years, this world will be utterly destroyed in that time. And we will go through the plagues. We will go through the seals. We will go through the church ages. We will see and understand the plan of God, of the culmination of not bringing an end to the world, but the culmination of the revelation of Jesus Christ to man. That's what revelation is. It's not the punishment of man. God doesn't want to do this. But because of our misbehaving, and because of our wickedness, and because of our evil doings, he has to do this. I want to encourage you that wherever you are, you're still in a good place. But you can't remain there. God wants to use you, whether you're pregnant and going to have a baby Thursday, or you're going to high school and developing new friends and stuff. God wants to use you. Or whether you're in daycare and taking care of other people's babies. God wants to use you. Let him use you. Don't be ashamed of being only a Christian in name. Be a Christian by lifestyle. Show them what Christ is all about and what he means to you. And God will use you to bring many people into the kingdom, because that's our reward. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you, God, that the utter destruction of these false prophets and teachers are sure, God. You are going to destroy them. But I pray, Father, for us as a fellowship, God, as part of your body, that we would adhere to you and to your truth, God, and that we would not be caught up by deceptions and lies and every other kind of wind of doctrine, God. That we not get caught up with these false signs and wonders that are going to come, that you say out of 1 Thessalonians, God. God, that we not get caught up in anything but the Spirit of the living God. That we get caught up in the love of Jesus Christ. That we get caught up in the one who gave his life that we may have life eternally. So, Father, as we go forth, as we enter into this new season that you are giving to us, God, you have called us to go deeper. And your word is true, God. We are all going deeper in you. But Father, lead us. Take us by the hand and lead us into deeper water, God. Don't let go of us. Hold us to the very end, God. And we will give you all praise and all glory for what you have done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen.